St. Luke's this morning, some in person and mostly by Zoom. It's good to have you with us for worship today. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. May this be a day that you find a way to express your love for people dear to you. A little chilly here in Buffalo, but there are good things about that too. It's the kind of day where you can have a picnic without worrying about ants. You can have a backyard barbecue with no mosquitoes. So knock yourself out. There are a couple of other announcements. The church council meets this afternoon at 2 o'clock via Zoom. And then the regular events on Wednesday, the ELCW, the youth group. Wednesday is also Ash Wednesday. The service for Ash Wednesday will be at Union's Congregational Church of Christ at 7 p.m. And Thursday morning is a Bible study. In our prayers this morning, we will be remembering Jill Sorrell. I'm praying for her in her time of illness and for George Wenzel and family on the death of his daughter, Kristen, who died unexpectedly suddenly this past week. And then one other note, the final hymn this morning is Alleluia, Song of Gladness. And we get that in to get our Alleluias sung before we enter Lent. The church, as you know, during the season of Lent, omits or avoids using the Alleluia, saving it for the joy of Easter, the song of gladness at Easter. So that's something to note as we get there this morning in our service. We turn to the order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
So our faces display your lovingness. ever-changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may I rise, tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the wildest glory. Place, Spirit, place. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word. Lord, and let there be light.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, in peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the peace from above. And for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for the peace of the whole world, the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy for this holy and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches, wisdom and strength, and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of lawful creation. Blessing and honor, glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Has begun his reign. Hallelujah. This is the feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son, and illumine the world with your image, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading today is from the second chapter of 2 Kings. Today's reading centers on the transfer of power and authority from the prophet Elijah to Elisha. Their travels, which retrace the path of Joshua back to Moab, the place where Moses died, and the parting of the waters, demonstrate that Elisha and Elijah are legitimate successors of the great prophet Moses. Beginning with verse 1. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 50 responsibly. The Lord, the God of gods, has spoken. He has called the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, perfect in its beauty, God reveals himself in glory.
Our God will come and will not keep silence. Before him there is a consuming flame, and round about him a raging storm.
He calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of his people.
Gather before me my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice.
Let the heavens declare the rightness of this cause, for God himself is judge.
The second reading today is from the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. The spotlight of Christian ministry is not on the people who carry out the ministry, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as God made light shine at creation, God makes the light of Jesus Christ shine in our lives through Christian ministry. Beginning with verse 3, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. He was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you, Lord.
Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of years ago, my wife Marlis and I went to have our hearing checked. It's just a routine thing every so often. And we learned that each of us had a problem with just one frequency. Yeah, I have trouble with the frequency of her voice, and she has a problem with the frequency of my voice. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's a little joke, because in these cases, what we need is not a hearing test, but a listening test. There's a difference, you know, between hearing and listening. And this day, the day we call the Transfiguration of our Lord, is a day that we see the difference. It's a striking story. It's an amazing story. Maybe it's the origin of that expression about being a mountaintop experience. It probably is. So Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John, and they go to the top of a high mountain. At a recent theological conference, a speaker asked the group, "Why those three?" And some alert pastor said, the inner circle. And she said, "Or maybe the remedial group? Why those three?" It was the kind of comment that makes you go back and look at your Bible another time. When are these three mentioned? Peter, James, and John. Not many times. Here, and here they are terrified. They don't know what to say. And they're still puzzled as they go back down the mountain. Two of the Gospels have these three going with Jesus when he's praying in Gethsemane, where they're asked to watch with him, but instead fall asleep. And when Jesus three times predicts his coming passion, his suffering and death, Peter, James, and John are the three disciples called out by name for getting it wrong. The first time, Peter rebukes Jesus for saying that he's going to suffer and die. And Jesus rebukes Peter, calling him Satan. Just after the third prediction of his suffering, James and John come to Jesus and ask for places of honor in his kingdom. So maybe they are the remedial group. But they are also the inner circle. And I think that says something about us, doesn't it? At the same time, faithful disciples and a remedial group, having trouble getting faith and life and our discipleship right. But back to the story. Atop the mountaintop, Jesus is transfigured and Moses and Elijah appear. Peter, terrified, doesn't know what to say, says it's great to be there, and then suggests building some kind of shrine, as if the world needs one more tourist attraction. Then suddenly a cloud, and from the cloud a voice, clearly the voice of God. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And maybe Peter's saying, "Listen to him, but he's not talking to us. He's talking to those guys over there, Moses and Elijah." First, the voice declares the identity of Jesus. But the command to listen is new. He was identified as Son of God in his baptism. But now this assignment to the disciples. And I think it's one of the key lines in this reading. The other is the command when they come down the mountain to tell no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. But what's this business about listen really about? Is it just like a school teacher telling students to pay attention? If so, they blew through a whole lot of special effects just for something like that. But it might be worth noting what has just come before it. Well, one of the problems with the Bible, it's very helpful, but it's also a problem sometimes, is all that business of chapters and verses. Because if we just read the story straight through, we would notice that Jesus has just been talking about discipleship. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." Peter has just objected to Jesus' prediction of his suffering, so Jesus explains it. This is what discipleship looks like. Listen to that, disciples. You disciples. All disciples. Following Jesus is not a prosperity gospel, but instead it is investing your life in carrying Christ's love and compassion, the good news of what Christ has done in our little corner of the world, and as much more as we're able to touch. Discipleship ultimately is not about you. It's a call. You are a disciple because God has a purpose for the world. So it's not to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. It is about fulfilling your life, making your life more complete, about finding your calling and your meaning in being God's person. And what about that command to tell no one until after the resurrection? Friends, that's really key for all of the Gospels. We can't understand the story. The people in the story can't understand the story, can't understand Jesus while they're in the middle of the story. Anything they say at that point would be wrong. The story of Jesus can only be understood in the light of his crucifixion and resurrection. We've been called Easter people. We are Easter people. We've never been called Transfiguration people. In fact, in the early church, this story of the Transfiguration was never a really big deal. It was never a central part of early preaching. It's not mentioned in any of the sermons in the book of Acts. The only mention elsewhere in the New Testament is in 2 Peter, a very late one of the writings there. If the story of Jesus is told, friends, without Good Friday and Easter at the center, Jesus is likely to be misunderstood. Just a miracle worker, just a healer, just a teacher, but probably no more than that. But after Easter, the disciples recognized, we can see it. We can see that they recognized God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Something we're going to be talking about during Lent. Reconciling, uniting all things, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. It's on the basis of Good Friday and Easter that we call him Savior and Lord. That's why this gospel reading is appointed for this day, the last Sunday before we enter Lent, because Lent is a season for reflection, for thinking of the direction of our lives and turning, that's the meaning of repenting, turning as we sense what our Lord is calling us to do. It's a season that will lead us to Holy Week, lead us to Good Friday, his death, and then to the joy of Easter and the resurrection. The command to Peter, James, and John to listen, friends, that might have another meaning, not only looking back to what he has said about suffering, but looking ahead to the message that they're going to receive on Easter morning. We'll get there, and we'll talk about it then, but this is the message. Tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. For the disciples, what that means is a call back to the place where the journey had begun. The place to where they were first called to follow, to become disciples. And maybe we should hear in it something of an invitation to their new mission, to carry the gospel to the world. As we read Mark, we soon learn that this event, the Transfiguration, didn't make these disciples smarter, didn't make them more obedient, didn't make them more faithful. In fact, the 12 disciples seem to remain as obtuse as they were before. And isn't that like us as well? We keep hearing the word, we keep reading the scripture, and we follow, and yet, over and over again, we screw it up. But I think this was in their memory. I think that's why it's in the Gospels, because it helped them put the pieces together and gain a better understanding as they began their mission in the world. Today we're reminded that the words from the cloud and the command of Jesus are addressed to us as well. First, to listen to Jesus. To try to conform our understandings, our message, our lives to what we see and hear in him. It's not common in our world. We don't spend enough time listening to that. Our call is to be grace-centered. Our call is to have our lives and our message in the world, our place in the world, be based on Jesus. Our call is to look to and listen to him. And the command of Jesus can remind us that we too have to be sure Good Friday and Easter, the death and resurrection, are the center of the story. In our lives, as on Sunday mornings, may we not only hear, may we listen with our ears, our hearts, our lives, and continue faithfully to follow our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Guided by Christ made known to the nations, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. For the gospel proclaimed in word and deed, for communities of faith far and near, and for all who show the face of Christ throughout the world, let us pray. Have mercy on God. For creation, sun, moon, and stars, life forming in the dark earth and ocean deep, mountains, clouds, and storms, and creatures seen and unseen, and for the Holy Spirit's guidance in our stewardship of God's creation, let us pray. Have mercy on God. For those responsible for safety and protection, for emergency responders and security guards, attorneys and advocates, civil servants and leaders of governments, that they witness to mercy and justice throughout the world, let us pray. Have mercy on God. For all who suffer this day, especially Jill Sorrell, George Wenzel and his family on the death of his daughter, that Christ our healer transforms sickness into health, loneliness into companionship, bereavement into consolation, and suffering into peace. Let us pray. Have mercy on God. For companions on life's journey in this worshiping community, for loved ones who cannot be with us this day, and for guidance during struggles we face, that God's glory is revealed around and among us, let us pray.
Have mercy on God.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our joint call committee and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates, and that the Spirit will move also in the hearts of potential candidates, let us pray.
Have mercy on God.
In thanksgiving for the faithful departed who now rest from their earthly pilgrimage, remembering especially this day, Kristen, that their lives of service and prayer inspire us in our living, let us pray.
Have mercy on God.
Merciful God, hear the prayers of your people spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who dwells among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
Here and at home and wherever you are, may God's peace be with you, and share that sign of peace with one another. Following that, this is the time of our service that is ordinarily the time of the offering. Because of the pandemic, we do not pass the plate now. Offerings are received by mail or in other ways, but we want you to know that we are thankful for your faithfulness in remembering what God has given you and responding appropriately. We thank you for your care and concern for this congregation and for the ministries of outreach that are part of our life together. We thank God for you, and we thank you for those gifts. May you be blessed as you continue to live that out. We respond with the presentation, "Let the vineyards be fruitful." Vineyards be fruitful, till to them bring our cup of blessing, and their harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of hope, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us
Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. Sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God come to the table. Thank you. the blood of Christ shed for me.
Thus they sing eternally.
to keep glad Easter with the faithful saints on high. There to you forever singing,